It is wonderful to be together on this first Sunday of the new year, the first Sunday following Epiphany, which was yesterday, and the baptism of our Lord Sunday. Would you bow in prayer with me? Gracious God, we are mindful that this is a significant Sunday in so many ways. It is a day for remembering. It is a day for new beginnings. And simply, Lord God, it is the day that you have given us to live. Grant that we may live this day attentive to you and obedient to your call in our lives, empowered by your Holy Spirit, to the glory of your name and to the blessing of one another and of this world you love so much. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So as we noted at the beginning of the service, we had two funerals this past week, John Carlson and Dorothy Foss. Following the second funeral, the one on Thursday for Dorothy, I was laughing with the man who was going to be leading the procession down to Fort Snelling. He was all bundled up in his snowsuit. His plan was to drive a motorcycle in, negative 10 degrees weather, and I was offering him my prayers as we went out into the bitter cold. I thought that the cold would be the worst of it, but as we pulled out into Silver Lake Road, or actually, I wasn't pulling out yet, I was still waiting for him to stop the traffic. He went out there in his motorcycle, stood up in his bright yellow uniform, his lights on his motorcycle flashing, and at least three cars barreled through the intersection. I was scared. The image of him flying through the air was going through my mind. Finally, the traffic stopped. When we got to Fort Snelling, I said something to the funeral director, and he said, it seems from his experience that people are less respectful of funeral processions than they've ever been. And this was more his point, people are just paying less attention to what's going on. That was his impression. I'm not sure we've done any studies to prove that that's the case, although maybe we have. Certainly we hear a lot about people texting while they're driving or fiddling with the music or talking on the... It does seem like we're a bit distracted. It reminded me of hearing a story of a young man who was hit by one of our rapid transit trains downtown. And his family, of course, very upset. He couldn't remember what had happened. Fortunately, he was alive. So they asked their lawyer to ask for the video tapes of the intersection. And so they pulled them up, and what they saw was this young man walking with his headphones on, listening to music, and walking into the train as opposed to the other way around. Maybe as we begin the good year, or the new year, let it be a good one, that this would be a good time for us to remind each other to pay attention. Can I say, may it be a good year of paying attention? It's important physically. We care about one another. So please encourage me. I want to encourage you. Let's not do that texting while we're driving. Let's be attentive to what we're doing when we're crossing the street. Let's be attentive to one another when it comes to our relationships. Maybe you've experienced this. I can't tell you what a difference it makes when I actually look at my wife when she's talking to me. And remember what she asked me to get when I walk into the kitchen? As opposed to going, but what was it you said? So I want to, that's one of my resolutions. I want to do a little better at that. In our relationships, to actually be present to each other. Interestingly, in what I've read, one of the biggest issues for us is not that kids are playing on their phones when we're talking, but that parents are doing that. So maybe for those of us who are parents, to remember that. In today's gospel lesson, it's very clear to us that paying attention is critical. I can't help but wonder what would have happened on that baptism of our Lord Sunday, the first day when Jesus actually was baptized, had he not been paying attention. Now, spiritually for us, paying attention, it's important physically, relationally, all that, but spiritually, this is, I think for so many of us, this is where we miss the boat. We miss the life that God's calling us to live. Because we're so distracted. We're so busy. Maybe we're busy living the life rather than also, at the same time, paying attention, looking for, expecting God to be present to us as he promises to be. In Mark chapter 1, we hear the story of Jesus' baptism. And I'm so thankful that when Jesus was baptized, he was paying attention. Listen to the story and notice what Jesus noticed. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit of God descending like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased. This is the beginning of the good news we're told of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the first line in the Gospel of Mark. In the beginning of that story, the first thing that we're told about Jesus is that he sees the heavens torn apart. He sees the Spirit of God descending like a dove on him. He hears this word of the Father, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." These words are the bookends of the Epiphany season. I would invite you now to listen for them as we go forward, because on Transfiguration Sunday, when we celebrate how Jesus and three of his disciples went to the top of this mountain, that when Jesus is transfigured, these same words are spoken about Jesus. This is the rooting. This is the center. This is the identity of who Jesus is. And the rest of the gospel, the rest of the good news, is Jesus living out that good news of his identity in God. And this is why, for us, remembering our baptisms is so important as well. I think of how Jesus, as he goes in the next verse to be tempted in the wilderness, how knowing who he is, that he's accepted and loved by the Father, how important that is as he goes out to be tested, to be tempted. As Jesus goes out to do his ministry, where some receive him and are welcoming to him, and others reject him and try to kill him. In fact, do kill him. How important it is that Jesus heard, paid attention here at his baptism, to this grounding of his identity in the Father, in the Spirit, in God. This is true for us too. We spend much of our lives as Christians often trying to win that acceptance of God, to prove ourselves worthy of God's grace. What I'd like to invite you to do this year as we begin this new year is to pay attention to how God has already loved you, claimed you, given you that identity. I want us this morning to hear the good news that these words that Jesus spoke, that the Father spoke to Jesus, are precisely the words that the Father speaks to you in your baptism. You are the beloved child of God. You cannot earn that. You cannot make that happen. This is already the true word of God spoken to you in your baptism. If you were an infant, they were spoken to you before you could say anything yourself. If you were an adult, they were spoken to you before you even began to live out the rest of your life in Christ. Do you understand how these words come at the beginning? They'll come at the end. Thank God for that. But they are the beginning as well for Jesus and for each one of us. Hear the good news. You are beloved by God. Not only that, I want you to believe that good news. If you're like me, it's sometimes hard to actually believe that God could love a sinner like me. Somebody who stumbles and falls, who doesn't know it all, who doesn't get it right all the time, who has to actually apologize at times and get back up again, be forgiven. And yet to believe the good news that no matter what, there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, including your own sin, that God loves you, that this is the identity out of which you live. Believe the good news. I keep thinking about these words from Hebrews chapter 10. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. Think of how important it was for Jesus as he goes out to be tested by the devil to hold fast to that confession of hope that's been given to him. When he's tempted to put his faith in himself or in some other being, to take things into his own hands and to make good happen according to his will as opposed to the Father's will, how important it was for him to remember, this is who I am, that I can trust the Father's love, the Spirit's presence in my life, and I can say no, and I can say yes according to God's leading. To believe the good news, I would invite you to go into this coming year holding fast to the identity that God has given you in Christ Jesus. The third thing would be to go forward and to live according to that good news, according to that identity that God has given you. Not to prove it again, but to simply live out of that. You are loved. For me, this has been one of the most life-transforming things. As I have been able to, over the years, practice, and I don't get it perfectly, repeating to myself, I am loved. When I don't feel very lovable, when I don't feel like, very secure, to be able to say I am loved is redeeming for me. I can get back up and I can live even though in my own strength I'm not all that strong. I'm loved. When I get it right, I'm loved. When I get it wrong, I'm loved. And you are too, to live according to that good news. Because I find that when I'm living out of that place of security, I'm much less reactive. I'm much less likely to come out of that place of insecurity where I'm going to try to hurt back or make sure that somebody else is, you know, feeling it too. I'm loved. And out of that, I can be a presence of love in the world. And finally, our call to share this good news, that it's not just Jesus, and it's not just you, it's not just me, but it's each and every person that God has created on this earth that is loved by God. That there's nothing they can do to earn that love. But they need to hear that good news and, like us, believe that good news. And like we intend to do this year, live out of that identity of beloved children of God. Jesus came to proclaim, to reveal this good news to us. And I would invite you this morning, as we go through a liturgy of the renewal of our baptismal vows, to pay attention, to hear the good news, to believe the good news, and as we go forward from here, to live out of that good news and share it in our lives. I don't know how much time you spend thinking about your baptism. I'm not sure how much importance we place on our baptisms. I mean, it seems important on that day when we baptize our children, when the water is poured out over our foreheads, or we are immersed in that water. But there's a lot more to our baptisms than what happened long ago. This is the identity out of which we are invited to live every day. A tangible act of remembering God's faithfulness, who God is and who we are by His grace, is by renewing our baptismal vows. They illuminate for us the reality of God's grace and remind us of our true identity in Jesus Christ. Prevenient and preserving, God's grace renews us like a cup of cold water in the dryness of our doubts. God's grace reminds us of God's amazing love for us in the midst of our struggles. God's grace walks with us so that when we stumble, we may become bruised, but we are not broken. For in the waters of our baptism is life. With this water, we are washed. Through this water, we are nurtured into maturity. This water of life comes from the source of all life, God our Creator, flowing into every nook and cranny of our lives to remind us that we are God's beloved children and to enable us to live out of our true identity in Christ. Brothers and sisters, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. So I invite you to renew your baptismal vows and to dance with joy in the waters of your baptism, in the waters of God's grace and mercy. Please stand and join together in the renewal liturgy. Do you intend to continue in the covenant of God made with you in holy baptism, to live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and to participate in the sacraments, and to serve as faithful members of Christ's body?
We do, and we ask God to help and guide us.
Remember your baptism and be thankful.
We remember our baptism and rejoice in our identity as God's beloved children. We affirm our call to live out our baptism in love and service to one another and to our neighbors around the world as witnesses to the grace of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Let us join together in confessing the Christian faith as contained in the Holy Scriptures and passed on to us through the ages by the Church in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Would you turn to one another and say, you are the beloved child of Christ?